I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Ooh, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker. So we're going to talk to Curtis Houck. He's the managing editor, of Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center. We're getting a hold of him now. A couple of things going on at CBS right now that I wanted to talk to him about. And let me just read these two different headlines. CBS News reportedly instructed its staffers not to refer to Jerusalem as being part of Israel, as the network faces mounting internal pressure over its handling of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Do not refer to Jerusalem as part of Israel. You know what that kind of reminds me of? It's kind of like, oh, we don't want to upset China, so let's not talk about Hong Kong or Singapore, you know, because, yeah, obviously we want to be in good graces with China, so why would we ever want to upset them? Who are you trying to appease to when you say, hey, don't refer to Jerusalem as part of Israel? Are you trying to, like, suck up to, I don't know, Palestine or Iran? What are you doing with this? Joining us now is managing editor of Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center, Curtis Houck. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, always a pleasure. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting things going on at CBS. Not only did they have that internal memo or whatever, don't refer to Jerusalem as part of Israel, but the other thing that they're running into is that they had this exclusive interview with Vice President Kamala Harris, and the way they edited the interview is raising some questions. So let me just ask this, generally speaking, what's so wrong with editing a presidential candidate's interview to make them look better if you're a news agency?
Well, especially considering the forum in which you shared the long interview, 60 minutes, and you probably had all the time in the world because Donald Trump rightly did not go on there. Yeah, you've got a problem. And the fact that you can't share a fully unedited from sit down to walk out transcript because you're like, I don't know, you just don't feel like doing it, reeks of a lack of journalistic ethics, because it's not like it's impossible to do, that you can't get some 21-year-old production assistant to sit there and go through and clean up closed captioning. Okay, we understand that the CBS Evening News, that's only 30 minutes and a political segment, but it'd be like, 2 minutes and 20 seconds, just picking a number, that you're going to run smaller sound bites in an interview. We understand that. But when you're doing an hour long special, I feel like you have time to kind of unspool things.
Yeah, I think so, too. And accurately, for full disclosure, I think it would be important to understand if you're asking questions, you want to hear their unedited answer. And I think it also goes to show you that there is this sort of preferential treatment where they have been, at least for the past 4+ years, have been very beneficial to the Biden administration.
Right.
I mean, I think they have this pattern of, hey, we need to run defense and help protect this senile old man. So, you know, I guess this is an extension of that. We're going to keep that defense running.
Yeah, why not? We're already kind of in this pack herd mentality mindset. You know, we already kind of bungled our way through the debate, fact-checking J.D. Vance when we weren't supposed to. So let's just keep it going here with 60 Minutes. And why not? Let's just keep it going with disciplining our otherwise liberal kind of socialist co-host who merely decided to go off the reservation by saying, oh, I don't know, does Israel deserve to exist? You who think Israel is an apartheid state, like, what is going on over there? I mean, we understand, right? We know that these guys are liberal. Of course, this is what we do. You know, we talk about this all the time, and we know this. But, like, really, like, to have three crazy things, stupid things happen to your network in just a short period of time, it's like, what is in the water? It's remarkable stuff.
I have to ask, and mostly out of pure curiosity, they've had this strategy, at least that we've seen, because you research a lot of how much airtime different networks give to certain topics. All of a sudden, you're seeing this resurgence. Kamala Harris is out there over and over and over again. She's starting to get out there. Do you have any indication if they're at least trying to treat the candidates fairly here, or is it almost all negative coverage of Donald Trump and all positive for Kamala Harris?
It's square peg in the round hole. You know, they're trying to dress this up and make it seem like it's generic and organic news when really it's just dressed up public relations. Really, that's what this is. Barack Obama comes out. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that so cool? Oh, we just happened to obtain video of him backstage beforehand talking to African-American men and chastising them. Isn't that so great? He's like a football coach, is what a coach giving a pregame talk. You know, that was one of the lines from one of the CBS co-hosts on CBS Mornings Plus, their new third hour. And it's like, hold on a second. Like, you know, we're not going to, like, dive into this. Oh, Donald Trump lied about this today, meanwhile. You know, that was what CNN was doing. He plays up migrant fears. They love creating narratives. Who's up, who's down? Kamala Harris on the road doing this and talking about this. Well, Donald Trump lied about this. Back to you. It's so formulaic at this point.
I think that most people, I don't want to say most people, but I think that most of them know who they're voting for already. Do you think any of this is working tactic-wise? And do you think it's intentional, perhaps, the way that they decide to cover these things in order to try to sway the ones that haven't decided?
I mean, you would think, I think that's probably what they're trying to do, because somehow some small percentage of the population really doesn't know what they're going to do yet. And they know this election is going to be as close as it is. And that's why it's important that we see at Newsbusters to talk about these networks, because we know the election is going to be close. Most people agree that about that. And these broadcast network evening newscasts in particular, where we found 85% negative coverage for Trump and Vance going into the VP debate, and 100% negative coverage or 100% positive coverage of Kamala Harris going into the presidential debate. Those shows are important because they're watched by more people than even the most watched shows on cable. Very often on some nights they outdraw the leading news show on cable, which is usually the Five or Waters or one of those Fox primetime shows. And so, yes, fewer people watch them than they used to, but it's still, on big news nights, it could probably get close to 10 million people. So it's like an election that's going to be fought by a few people there. I think we wanted to show the American people that these are what the most watched newscasts in America are saying. And these segments then are chopped up and put on YouTube and social media pages as well.
Yeah, I would say this. Let me read you a headline from The New York Post, and they're criticizing. It says Kamala Harris's airbrushed photo on Vogue cover panned by critics, quote, holy Photoshop, Batman. So they show a picture of it. It is very, very much doctored. I would argue the same thing happens on a lot of these evening news. It's basically the same concept. We're going to Photoshop the coverage to make it look unblemished. And if you think that is fake, then I think what you're consuming needs to be also examined. And there's one other headline from the New York Post. CBS News allegedly tells... Oh, no, wrong one. I'm sorry. Ex-CBS staffers call for outside probe of 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris amid editing scandal. Are you going to hold your breath? Do you think perhaps they will investigate what happened there and change course and try to go in the right direction? Is that possible?
No, I don't think that's going to happen, even though there's precedent for them releasing full transcripts of interviews. And then on Vogue, I think this is just so tiresome. I mean, it's so stupid. I said this earlier today on Newsmax that, like, they keep thinking, Annie Leibovitz, the photographer that does a lot of these photo shoots for Democratic women and, you know, Democratic male heartthrobs like Beto O'Rourke, they keep thinking that, like, putting these magazines on the stand of Hudson News at the airports is something that people are going to flock to and buy along with their $6 bottles of water or in the checkout line at the grocery store. I mean, Hershey's, you know, candy bar, Vogue. I mean, come on. we know what people are going to do.
So what kind of things are you working on right now at the Media Research Center? What are things that are going on behind the scenes? Can you tell us?
Well, we do plan to have another study about, network coverage of Trump and Kamala before the election. So that's going to be coming out. I have a story up about how Michael Strahan, the NFL player, there's this thing with making sports people journalists, and it's really stupid because they're basically Ron Burgundy's, so they just read whatever's put in the teleprompter for them. CBS has Nate Burleson. His producers actually gave him some good questions to ask Tim Walz, and Tim Walz did not do well, and Michael Strahan actually asked not only good questions, he asked follow-up questions, because that's often the thing that we see. This is Jake Tapper's issue. Jake Tapper will be like, oh, I asked this question of this Democrat. Well, no, you let him filibuster, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Let me mention this real quick, because this happened a couple of years ago where I think it was Michael Strahan was trying to cut a promo during the commercials, and the local affiliates forgot to cut away, so it showed the behind the scenes of what was going on. And it was a disaster. He was a train wreck. He couldn't get through one 10-second promo. That he kept doing it over and over and over again. And all the staffers around him were so annoyed. I got to imagine they're annoyed by this idea of bringing in someone that was popular in sports and trying to pretend like they know how to do the news.
Right. These networks have laid people off over the years. CBS, in their case with Nate Burleson, they laid off Jeff Glor, consumer investigative correspondent, their environmental correspondent, and yet they're going to keep Nate Burleson around, who at best was a disappointing fantasy football wide receiver that we would say, oh my gosh, he really is going to get the 8 or 9 points we need, and then he gets like 4. And Strahan, most people remember him as the Michael Strahan, the guy in with the.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
His teeth. Other thing I'll ask about when it comes to coverage, you have Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, who has those accusations of him slapping his girlfriend around and who knows what else out there. They're kind of ignoring it, aren't they? Does it seem like they are just letting this one slide?
Yeah, here's the thing that's really interesting about that. I don't know if these allegations are true, because that's a lot of anonymous sources that have been talking to Josh Boswell, the Daily Mail. The woman in question has not spoken to him, at least as a on-the-record anonymous source. So there's some questions about this, and kind of the same thing goes for some of his workplaces that he's reported on as being toxic in terms of what Emhoff was doing and fostering in terms of company culture. But there's no open forum among these networks and the news media and the body politic to vet these claims, okay? Because there's no coverage of this, it's just this thing at the Daily Mail that you see people sharing on Twitter and Facebook, that Joe Scarborough makes vague allusions to today, okay, and talking about distraction. That's what Emhoff called it. He called it a distraction, which he's a lawyer. That's not a denial. Normally, you'd be like, oh, we want to do follow-ups on that, because when allegations are made against people like Justice Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh back in the day, they were very firm. They were like, this is not happening. This is not me. These are, farcical allegations, high-tech lynching, et cetera, et cetera. Doug Emhoff isn't doing that because there's no forum in the news media. There's no desire to vet these claims to decide whether they're legitimate or not.
I know. And they're trying to make him look like, oh, what a gentleman. But wasn't his previous marriage broken up because he knocked up the nanny?
Their school teacher and impregnated the nanny, too. I mean, she lost her baby, but it was like,
oh, terrible. But
I understand that there's reconciliation, that he and his ex-wife apparently get along well now. But your marriage nonetheless ended because of this.
I know.
So, not like an upstanding male you know, object and symbol.
I know. Not that we have any, honestly, I mean, we got to be fair. When it comes to lifestyles and all the other problems that politicians bring, all this does is remind me is you just can't use a politician or their family members or the first husband or whatever as your compass for morality. Just another reminder.
Right. And that's what's interesting. The Democrats make this claim talking about Donald Trump has not exactly been an upstanding person in terms of his personal life. And we say yes. But then the Democrats turn around and have those two civility bumper stickers on their cars, you know, and hate has no home here. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Clinton's campaigning next week. Like, what are we doing?
I know.
What are you guys doing?
If people wanted to find you online, the work you're doing right now, where can they go?
Newsbusters.org, at Newsbusters on X, at the MRC on X, and I am at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K.
Curtis Houck, managing editor at Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center, a fantastic organization. Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, joining us after the break is the CEO of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, joins us. We have the cut of the day coming up a little bit later, too. Oh, your weekend is so close. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.